We begin our journey into Prosperous along the R408, known locally as the Manute Road. About a kilometre before the village on the left-hand side is Curra Hill. This is where Curry Hills and Curraquill comes from, the Irish name for Prosperous. Also on the hill on the left is Eldon's Fort, one of the many rats or ring forts found in the village. On the high point of the road is a geographical feature, a triple point divide, where the river basins of the Boyne, the Liffey and the Barrow meet. Prosperous was founded in 1780 by Robert Brooke. Brooke, from Cavan, was a lieutenant in the British Army in India. It was while he was in India he met Anna Mapletoft. They married and settled in Killybegs, on the outskirts of the village. The late 18th century was a time of attempted industrialisation in Ireland, and Prosperous was founded on cotton manufacturing. Brooke modelled it on Manchester in England. He leased over 400 acres of Killybegs estate from Charles O'Neill. Pat Rowe planned the town, and was built by Michael Hayes from Tipperary, who went on to build many of the locks in the Grand Canal between Lowtown and Shannon Harbour. The Grand Canal was opened to Robertstown in 1784, and it was hoped it would be connected to the village. Proceeding to the T-junction along the Manute Road, which Brooke called the New Street, we turn left onto 100-foot-wide Main Street, which Brooke named Temple Street. On the left, we pass the site of the old cotton factory and proceed to the two main squares. Market Square is on the left, between the old post office and Larry's Bar. There is a monument built here to commemorate the bicentenary of the village in 1980. Beyond that, on the same side, now Larry's Pub and off-license, was Navin's cotton factory, and by 1833 it was a school. Tom Harris previously lived here. He was injured at the GPO in the Easter Rising, and went on to become a TD for Kildare from 1932 until 1957. Robert Brooke had a great vision. The production of cotton would continue 24 hours a day. There was a prohibition on the use of whiskey, and every tenant would receive a cow and have a garden to grow potatoes. By 1783, 200 houses had been built, and by 1784, over 4,000 people were employed. Brooke was now the largest cotton manufacturer in Ireland, but all was not well. There were many bad workmen, and though paid by the piece, their productivity was poor. On one occasion, 400 men surrounded him in a field, demanding the higher Dublin rate of pay. It was said he was lucky to get away with his life. After this, a small detachment of soldiers was stationed in Prosperous, and a barracks was built. There was a constant need for new grants and money from creditors due to poor financial management and high transport costs. In March 1785, Brooke, seeking another £57,000 in the Irish House of Commons, had to admit that perhaps Prosperous was not the most ideal site. Even so, they granted him £32,000 that year. The mid-1780s was a time of difficult economic circumstances. Trading conditions were poor. English manufacturers, excluded from the American market during the American War of Independence, flooded Ireland with cheap textiles. And so, in 1786, Brooke once again asked Parliament for a grant. And this time, however, they refused. A parliamentary oversight committee was set up, and upon seeing the dire state of finances, they appointed trustees to manage the industry. Brooke was declared bankrupt and returned to the army. He was made governor of St. Helena in the South Atlantic. Under the stewardship of the trustees, Prosperous struggled on for a number of years. It was officially wound up in 1792. Between 1780 and 1785, Brooke had spent over £132,000, a huge sum in 18th century terms, equivalent today of many millions of euros. Some small-scale manufacturing did continue, but Prosperous was in decline. There was no branch of the Grand Canal linked to the village, unemployment was increasing, and there was reduced wages due to the poor quality of the goods. Revolution was in the air. Crossing the road to the other square, Anne Square, this monument was built in 1998, for the 200th anniversary of the Battle of Prosperous. The barracks would have been located near here. The exact location is unknown. The first shots and the first victory of the 1798 rebellion, and indeed, the first Irish military victory for 100 years, was the Battle of Prosperous. On the evening of the 23rd of May, 500 rebels gathered near the canal to be led by Dr. John Esmond. There had been talk of rebellion, and to quell this, a Captain Swain had arrived in the town with the Cork militia. For 2 days they tortured people, half-hanging and pitch-capping being the most common forms. They also burnt down the chapel and 15 houses. 12 men had been arrested and were due to be executed the next day without judge nor jury. The attack began at 2 a.m. The rebels stormed the barracks and Swain was killed. They burnt the barracks to the ground with many of the Cork militia still inside. It's from here that the legend of Ruth Hackett is known. As she heaped burning furs around the barracks, she was shot and killed. Beside Ann Street is the Dead Field, supposedly where the soldiers are buried. The second Battle of Prosperous was on the 19th of June, 1798. And after several bloody clashes, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Stewart recaptured the town. But this left him in a perilous position, for he had little knowledge of the bog surrounding him, and so he was forced to return to Naas. And on the 21st of July, 1798, a treaty of peace was signed. However, the village was decimated. Samuel Lewis described it in 1837 as little more than a pile of ruins. Continuing up Main Street, we reached the crossroads. On the left is the Church of Our Lady in St. Joseph, built in 1869. Before that, there was a small thatched cottage on the site of what is now Prosperous Drama Theatre. The first play we know of was in 1917. Beside the theatre is the old school. This was built in 1856. The new school across the road was built in 1946. At the cross is a 10-kilometre straight road from Clain through Prosperous and onto Lullymore. Andrew Moss built the road in the 1750s. He had planned for it to go to Ballinagar in County Offaly, but by 1757 he ran out of money as the road kept sinking into the bog. Robert Brooke named it Leinster Street. Straight on towards the canal, past St. Farnan's post-primary school and the Hatter's Crossroads, is Old Killybeg's Church and Graveyard. It was a church of Knights Hospitaller, built sometime in the early 13th century. Under the dissolution of the monasteries by Henry VIII, it was confiscated in 1540. Back at the cross is Dowling's Public House. This became a centre for folk music in Ireland in the 60s and 70s under Pat Dowling. Heading west towards Allan Wood, we pass on the right the Ideal Shopping Centre. Price's Cinema was located here. Further on the right, in what is now Bliss and Gormley's Butchers, is the site of 19th century RIC barracks. To the left of Blackstick Crossroads on the Newbridge Road is St. Farnan's Park, home to Carra GFC, one of the oldest clubs in the county. Across the road from it is Dowling's House. During the battle in 1798, the rebels commanded the handing over of Henry Starmer. He was Justice of the Peace for County Kildare. He was killed by the rebels and the house is burnt down. More recently, Christy Moore's 1972 album Prosperous was recorded here. It was during these recessions that the band Planxty formed. Back on the Allenwood Road, just on the edge of the village, is Dowling's Church and Graveyard. St. Farnan of Dowling's was a 6th century monastic hermit. The well was a place of pilgrimage, and miracles have been attributed. Canon John O'Hanlon in 1874 stated, "Whoever drank of its water shall never again relish the waters of intemperance." Oliver Cromwell's forces battered the church with cannon fire, and like so many of the factories and warehouses, aqueducts and water reservoirs, army barracks and windmills, little remains of these today, but the ruins and the stories.